Praise her. Well, welcome to worship this morning. That's also going to be our church meeting. Well, I know, oh dear, we had a moan already. We haven't even started yet, Dot. when Andrew, our circuit superintendent, asked if I would take the church meeting, I thought about it and I thought, well, I'll do it, but only if I can do it in the context of worship, because I think it's so important that we remember that we're not a club. We're not just an organisation, we're a church. And therefore, everything we do, every way that we act, is an offering of our worship. So we're going to have the church meeting bound up in our worship today. If it goes terribly wrong, you never need to do it again, because you'll have a minister next year and it'll all be fine. But we're going to give it a go. So the theme of the service is cut to the heart, called to community. Cut to the heart, called to community. And you'll hopefully notice why I've chosen that as our service goes on. I've chosen this line from one of our readings as our call to worship. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. I love this verse, which is why I chose it, but I think it's really pertinent for us as we hold our church meeting today. If you look up the verse in commentaries, it will tell you this, that this one verse tells you three things about our faith. It tells us about the universality of it, it tells us about the continuity of it, and it tells us of the divine initiative of it, which sums up God's promise. Universality, the promise is for everyone, everyone. All are welcome. Continuity, as it was, as it has been, as it will be. We are part of a story that extends into the past and into the future. And then the divine. This is God, the Almighty, the Lord. And this promise that we're going to look at today, this offer, is of deep and everlasting relationship with the divine. It's serious. It's life-changing. And it has so much potential. I think that's a fabulous setting for our church meeting later. We're going to sing our first song, Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell. As we do that, I just want to offer a prayer for our children and our children's workers. They've gone out a little bit early because they're coming back for the church meeting. Just to say, I brought my grandchildren to church last week. It was a bit of a last-minute decision. And they went out, and I went out with them to the children's work. Oh, my gosh, church. It's brilliant, the children's work that we have in this church. It is such high quality and so good. And we should really hold that in our prayers, that the church knows that it does such good work, and that we, all of us who have any children, should just be, or no children, or grandchildren, or neighbours, should be bringing them to take part in that, because it's wonderful. Sorry to have overgone. Let's build a house where love can dwell.
Let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can see clearly.
A prayer. O Lord, who walks with us along life's way, we come before you today joyful to be back in your house. Draw near to us as we draw near to you, we pray, and may we step forward together on this journey of worship and praise. Lord, we confess that as we live our lives distracted by so many things, so often this is when things aren't going the way we think they should. Like the pair who trod the Emmaus Road, our feet carry us forward, but our thoughts go round in circles. At such times, when you come to us, Lord, we often fail to recognize you. For all the times this week when we have failed to recognize you or failed to listen to your voice, we are sorry. We ask that you would reveal to us yourself afresh. We know that you are all welcoming, all seeing, all knowing, ever present. We know that you welcome us back into your presence. You feed our souls with comfort and hope, and you teach us to see life in a new light. For those gifts, we thank you. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We have two readings this morning. You'll guess one of them because of the pre-service song is The Road to Emmaus, but you might not guess the other. So I invite our readers up and we'll listen to those readings now. Thank you. Thanks, Celia.
This comes from Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God, and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And some of our women amazed us. They didn't find his body. They went to the tomb early in the morning. But as they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, then some of the companions went to And then some companions went also to the tomb, and just as the woman had said, and they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the prophets say that these things would happen, and then he would enter his glory?" And he then explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go further. But they asked him and urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then they recognized him. Their eyes were open, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were we not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with whom all assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen. And the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thank you for those readings. That reading of the road to Emmaus, that journey story, is quite a long one. But I'd recommend you, if you get a chance, have another look at it when you get home today, because it's a story full of exciting and interesting details that you can pick out and ask God perhaps to pick out something for you. I want to do a really quick and short reflection on those two passages, which are the passages set for today by our lectionary, before we move into our church meeting. So I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice in the reading that Celia read, there was a phrase that said they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. The crowd were cut to the heart by what Peter said. But it wasn't just what Peter said. It was what the Holy Spirit was doing in them that cut them to the heart. And then in the Emmaus story that was read for us by Shirley, you could hear the disciples say, "Oh, our hearts burned within us," when he opened up the scripture to us. And I want to ask you, over the last year, because this is an annual meeting that we have, when have you been cut to the heart? When has your heart burned within you about something that the church is doing, or something that the church should be doing? At our meeting later, we don't want to just be looking at spreadsheets and talking about safeguarding, although we'll do all those things. We need to ask ourselves, what's cut us to the heart this year? And what should burn within us as we want to go into next year? What's our holy ache that we have as a church? The second thing I want you to notice is the turning point in both those stories. In both those stories, there's a turning point of repentance and recognition. In the reading that Celia gave for us, there was a repentance. What shall we do? The crowd asked Peter. And he says, repent and be baptized. We know as a church, we've done baptisms here this last year. I'm waving at Ian over there. Repent and be baptized. And then with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, what do? They recognize Jesus in the breaking of bread. And then they go in a different direction. They've been walking out of Jerusalem. And they turn around and they walk back to Jerusalem. Again, I want us to think about how we might be moving from time of despair to a time of hope. That's what those disciples did. There's a shift that's being required of us. A shift. How are we cut to the heart? What is our catalyst for change? And then the third point I want to make from those readings is around our shared life, our community. You see, when those disciples were cut to the heart, the first believers were cut to the heart, it was a community thing. 3,000 of them were added to the number. It was a community thing. It was a joint thing. It wasn't an individual. It was an individual response, but then it became a community response. One of the jobs that I do in my other life when I'm not here with you in church is to work for the church. I work for the Methodist Church, and one of my jobs is to help the church collect its statistics, deep joy. You do accounts every October, and all the churches around the connection do accounts, and we look at them, and every 3 years we have to respond to the conference. I'll let you know, my friends, in secret, because it hasn't gone to anyone yet, the numbers are not looking good. We're not doing well as a church, as a denomination. And yet, there are also really exciting signs of growth. 28% of the churches across the connection gained in number through confirmations or baptisms this year. 43% gained in number when you also include transfers in. And overall, if you look at all the churches, 21% of churches had more growth than they did decline. And I think that's actually not a bad statistic. We in Whitney, we're not doing too badly in terms of our numbers. But friends, it's not about numbers, is it? It's about the transformation of the world. That's what we're called to do. And so I think it's important as we think about our meeting, as we go into it now in a minute, we're not just a club maintaining a building. It's a beautiful building. And I am so thankful to the people that work so hard to maintain it. But the building is nothing without the people. The building is here to be used by the community. It's to be used by us. We are called to community. What we do here on a Sunday is not the important bit. The way we live our lives throughout the week is the important bit. How we use our resources, our prayers, and our mission. So as we move into our meeting, I want us to carry that theme. If we feel cut to the heart by the world's needs or by our own shortcomings, let that pain be fuel to a call to community, to a changed world. And I'm going to finish with a prayer. Lord, cut through our apathy and burn within our hearts as you have called us out of isolation and into community here in Whitney. Give us the courage to say, the Lord is risen indeed, not just with our lips, but with our lives. Amen. Amen. So as we set up for our church meeting, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, Jesus, Stand Among Us at the Meeting of Our Lives. It's singing the faith number 30. And those that are joining me in the church meeting will take their seats.
Thank you.
had their say. If you, your heart is still burning within you and you haven't had your say, you now know who your church council members are, and so you can bend their ear in a very Christian and loving way over coffee later on. Our next meeting, like this, will be in a year's time-ish. We haven't set a date for it yet. It will be chaired beautifully, I'm sure, God willing, by the Reverend Molly, who will be our minister then. I'd like us just to pray for Reverend Molly now. Lord, we ask that you would be blessing Reverend Molly as she prepares her and her family to move here to Whitney and to work among us. We ask that you bless us as a church in the ways in which we learn to support her and learn to help her to be everything that you have called her to be in this future into which you invite us. Amen. We've heard some important dates. We've heard about the art exhibition. We've heard in the notices about Reverend Inderjit Bogle speaking to us next week. I really want to commend that to you, my friends. I mean, he's an amazing speaker. He was on Songs of Praise last week, in fact, talking about his pilgrimage routes and the City of Sanctuary. If you've got neighbours that you think, maybe I ought to bring them to church, next Sunday might be the day to do that. Are there any other important dates, Fraser or Linda, that I need to notice?
The next church council, we are going to be dependent on Superintendent Andrew Biggs' calendar because he's going to be looking after us. He's back from sabbatical. And at the moment it's scheduled, I don't know how tentatively, but for the 14th of July. But we will update you.
So the next council meeting, church council meeting, should be the 14th of July, which is a way away because Andrew is on sabbatical. But they've got a long list of things to do, some of which perhaps people could be working on in the interim. We're going to move back into our worship now by singing the faith number 385, In Christ There Is No East or West. Val is going to lead us in some prayers.
In these prayers, I'd like you to use your imagination. Some of you will have seen on the television the views of the Earth from the spaceship that has just recently whizzed around the moon, and what wonderful pictures we've seen. So starting there, imagine that you're in the space capsule Integrity and you're looking down on Earth. So let's pray. Lord, as we look down on our world, lovingly created by you, We cannot but be amazed at its beauty. Yet we know that we have made earth an imperfect place. Through our anger and greed, we have caused such damage to your creation. We recognise that there is work to do to repair all that is broken. Help us to bring about change by encouraging us to work together globally and in our more immediate community. Lord, as we focus in on our home planet, we can see all kinds of conflict. We pray that through our faith and commitment, we can play our part in bringing about peace and reconciliation. Even in Europe, right on our doorstep, we see pain and disagreement amongst the leaders of nations, and violence and death instead of harmony and pleasure. Lord, if we have to disagree, help us to disagree well. Lord, as we travel in our imagination to our own country, we can see a difficult time ahead with elections looming. The federal nature of the UK will always present issues upon which we may disagree. Help us, Lord, to speak out against division and inequality and to work closely with our Christian siblings to forward the mission to bring about your kingdom here on earth. Now, Lord, we've arrived in this wonderful town of Whitney. You can see up and down the High Street, and thank you that it is such a thriving place. But we also recognise that not everyone who lives here has the same advantages. There is poverty, homelessness, and isolation right here, and we need your help to try and do something about this. We especially think of the young people in our town who are approaching exams and who may be moving on to a new chapter of their lives. Guide us to make the right decisions, both personally and as a church family, which will increase and enhance the offer we make as Christians to others who are in doubt or who have no faith at all. Lord, as we sit here in our church, we can look around and see our church family. We're all different, but all wonderfully made in your image. How amazing is that? So we pray for ourselves, that we can answer the call to be community, that we will be strong in faith and firm in intent, so we can build each other up during the coming months. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
So, friends, we've come to the end of our service in which we have held our annual church meeting. And we've done that in the context of worship because everything we do is worship. Every way in which we are, every conversation that we have is all part of our worship. And we have an invitation before us, like those 3,000 that were converted, like the two in Emmaus, we're invited to move from being spectators in the story to being at the heart of the story. And this is our challenge as church together. So we're going to sing our final hymn, "We Have a Gospel to Proclaim." And so, Lord, we ask you to send us in your spirit to live for you, to tell your worth to all the world, starting with our neighbours. And, Lord, we ask you to bless us this week and those that we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.